So what would happen is we would have to get your permission or edit you out. And that's an awful lot of trouble for Susan to edit you out. So you must stay muted. And at the end, I will have questions at the end. So you will be given a chance at the end to ask questions. Okay. Tonight, we are on Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism. But before we start, I am going to tell you the chapters that we study in the Big Book Step Study on Step 1. So Step 1 is the foreword to the first edition. That's Step 1. The doctor's opinion. Bill's story. And then more about alcoholism. And then Step 1 in the AA 12 and 12. And then when we finish more about alcoholism, we are going to be doing Tradition 1. So that is going to be our lineup. We are going to be doing all of that. And then we're going to end with the tradition in the AA 12 and 12. Okay, so that's where we're going to be going. Okay, tonight we are starting a new chapter, Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism. Most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. Okay, let's stop there. There is three classes of alcoholics, three classes of addicts. And if you remember correctly, and I'm going to see if I can quickly go back to the page where they have the three classes of addicts. Now, remember, all three classes are very welcome to be at a meeting. So you're going to have all three classes of alcoholics at an AA meeting, an OA meeting. Okay, it's on page 20 and 21 at the very bottom. You have moderate drinkers. You have a hard drinker. And then on 21, you have the real alcoholic. Okay. Now, all three types have a right to be at an AA meeting or an OA meeting or a gray sheet meeting or an FA meeting or a sex and love addicts meeting. You have three types of sex and love addicts, you know? It's just where somebody chooses to get off. Like you may have, let's just take an alcoholic just to make things easier. At the end, well, at the break time at an AA meeting, they give out chips. And they give out desire chips. And they give out 30-day, 60-day, 90-day chips. So you have four people going up for a desire chip, okay? They desire to get sober. They have a guy that's 60 years old. They have a desire going up. They have a desire. They have a woman that's 40 years old. They have a person who's 20 years old, and they have a teenager that's 15 years old. Okay? Now, you know that the 15-year-old is probably a hard drinker as opposed to the man who's been drinking, or the man who is 60 years old. Okay? But what it does to the 15-year-old and the may do the same thing it does to the 60-year-old. You can't say to the 15-year-old, you can't come into AA and get a desire chip. It doesn't matter. They all, if they have the willingness and the desire to stop drinking, then they have a right to be in AA. The 15-year-old may not have to do this Big Book Step Study process. The 20-year-old may not have to do it. You don't know who is the real alcoholic or not. You don't know. All I know is I'm a real alcoholic. I had that double-edged sword. I had the mental obsession and the physical compulsion. And I don't care whether you have the mental obsession and the physical compulsion. You're here tonight. So I'm assuming that you're a real alcoholic, a real whatever. Fill in the blank. Sex and love addict, clutterer, workaholic, alcoholic, food addict, whatever you are, you're here. And you want to do the step study process. So you're a real something. Because if you're a hard drinker, you don't have to do this to stop drinking. You can pretty much get by going to a meeting, you know, working a tool here and there. But many of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. I was unwilling to admit I was a real alcoholic and a real food addict for 20-plus years. And that's why I wasn't really successful with my step one. I couldn't keep it down. Once I admitted I was a real food addict and did this process and picked up the kit of spiritual tools, which is these steps and living in 10, 11, and 12, that's when I kept the food down. I had got a personal and intimate relationship with God and put God first instead of food. I admit I'm a real alcoholic and a real food addict, and I must put God first in my life. I must do page 84 to 88, which is 10 and 11, and work 12 in my life, work these principles in all my affairs. Okay? So, the question I'm going to ask you is, are you willing to admit that you are a real alcoholic? Are you willing to admit you're a real alcoholic? So, that's your first writing assignment tonight. We have to take what this book says. And we have to turn these statements into questions. You have to always keep asking yourself. And you change alcoholic, of course, into whatever you are. I don't know what you are. I know I'm an alcoholic. I'm a food addict. And I am an Al-Anon. I have problems with my thinking. I want to control people, especially alcoholics. Okay, so that's your first writing assignment. Okay, no person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. Okay, so your second writing assignment is, do you believe? And, I mean, we've been talking about this since we started. So you're just going to be writing on things that you've been writing on. It's really just repetition. But do you believe that you are bodily and mentally different from your fellows, from other people out there? Do you believe that you are bodily and mentally different from your fellows? That's your second writing assignment. We haven't gotten very far. But these, you really can't move on. This is what step one is all about. You can't admit that you were powerless over your drug unless you really, really, really concede to your very most inner core that you are bodily and mentally different. That under no circumstances can you use or have that drug in any way, shape, or form. Now, what if you're just an Al-Anon and you don't ingest your drug? Then in no way, shape, or form can you ever try to control an alcoholic ever again. I know. I live with two. Well, I live with one alcoholic and one workaholic. And never again can I try in any way, shape, or form to control them. That I have to concede to my innermost self that I cannot ever try to control them. Do I? To the very depth of my soul, do I understand that? Now, I have to write on that like you have to write on that. Okay. Therefore, it is not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. Okay, get ready. I'm going to give you words. Okay, these are the words you need to look up in this chapter, in on this page, actually. I went ahead and looked ahead. I did a little work before I got on tonight. Okay, the first word is vain, V-A-I-N, vain. The second is obsession, O-B-S-E-S-S-I-O-N, obsession. The third is abnormal, A-B-N-O-R-M-A-L, abnormal. Four is illusion, I-L-L-U-S-I-O-N. Okay, that's coming up. Many pursue it. What? The obsession. Many pursue the obsession into the gates. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot a sentence. Okay. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. And that's what Bill Wilson was doing. We just read Bill Wilson's story. He was drinking himself into insanity and death. Okay. The fifth word, concede. C-O-N-C-E-D-E. Six, delusion. D-E-L-U-S-I-O-N. Seven, insanity. I-N-S-A-N-I-T-Y. Eight, incomprehensible. I-N-C-O-N-P-R-E-N. Wait a minute, I think that's wrong. Incon, I-N-C-O-N. P-R-E-N, P-R-E-H-E-N-S-I-D-L-E, incomprehensibility, and eight, demoralization. Okay, a lot of words in this chapter, big words too. Okay, they're coming up in this next paragraph. Okay. We're on page 30, paragraph 2. Okay, this is the first step right here. We learned that we had to fully concede. Fully. That means no reservation. No reservation at all to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion. The word delusion, the concept of delusion, is we're not in reality. Our thinking is not grounded in reality at all. They put people who are delusional in institutions because they really can't live in society. The delusion that we are like other people. And it's the delusion that we can drink like other people. Or that we can use our drug. Like, I never was a social drinker. A social drinker goes to a party. You know, they'll have one glass of wine and maybe a second glass of wine. They may have a glass of wine with dinner, or they may have, you know, a cocktail. You know, that's a social drinker. This is how I drink. I had probably most of a bottle of wine before I even went out to go out to a party. Then I got to a party, and then I drank as much as I could without looking like I was, you know, a jerk. And my goal was to get drunk and, you know, to be bombed. Now, that was, you know, that's not social drinking. And the delusion was that everybody else was doing that. That was my delusion. And then the delusion of, like, eating was why bother have one slice of anything? I mean, that's just a waste. If you couldn't have like half of it, then why even bother? And I figured everybody felt that way, but other people didn't feel that way. Other people would say, oh, no, that I would feel too full. Well, feel too full, of course, that's the whole point. But see, that's delusion. I actually really thought other people felt the same way. So that's delusion. The delusion that we are like other people or presently may be has to be smashed. Well, it's smashed. I absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt that the way I ate and drank was totally bizarre to the rest of the people. You know, totally bizarre. So my question to you is, you know, in the area of your addiction, has the delusion that you are normal been totally smashed? I mean, do you have any reservation that you are normal when it comes to your addiction? Like, say you have a work addiction. Do you see yourself as normal in it at all? And if you have any reservation at all, you really need to do some more work. Like, I have absolutely no reservation. Like, I know to the day I die, I have to weigh and measure my food because I do not know what a normal portion is. I have to weigh and measure. And I have to be told by an outside source what a normal portion is for my body. And they tell me what a normal portion is. I tell them how much I weigh. They tell me what I should eat, what is a normal portion, and then I put it on the scale and I don't eat any more. And then that keeps my weight. And if I gain weight, then they tell me to eat less and I eat less. If I get too low, which I have gotten too low, they tell me to put more. Because I cannot tell you what's normal. I can't. My eyes are broken. And it's the same with alcohol. I don't even deal with alcohol. I wish I didn't have to deal with food, but I do. So thank God they make food scales. Okay, so this is, and I belabor this because this sentence right here is so important. So star it and write very important. This is very, very important. The delusion that we are like other people or presently may be has to be smashed. It does. I take my scale everywhere I go. If I got invited, if President Obama invited me to the White House, I would have to take my scale with me. And I would do it with dignity and honor. And I would tell him why I would bring it. And you know what? I think he would be somebody who would have a lot of compassion for me. And I would tell him, you know, President, I am a food addict. And I do this because this keeps me safe from myself. And I bet you he would be very compassionate. I would be proud to tell him about my program and about my recovery. So it has to be smashed. And it's been smashed because I smashed my head against the wall of addiction so much, so hard, so long that there is no more delusion. Is there any delusion left in you? So that's your third question to write on. Is there any delusion left? Is there any delusion left? And, you know, be honest. Be honest. Be gut-wrenchingly honest. Is there any delusion left? Or has it all been drained out of you? And if it hasn't, be honest about it. Because if you can really be honest about it, then maybe it can be drained out, and you writing about it and sharing it with somebody, maybe the last vestiges can be drained out by you being honest about it. Okay. Good. I'm glad we really talked about this. Because I really think that some of you are really going to be helped by writing about it. We alcoholics, the men and women, who have lost their ability to control our drinking, eating. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. Do you believe that? Is there any lurking? Now, that's the same thing as delusion. But is there any lurking? Now, this is a good one for you Al-Anons. Is there any lurking delusion that someday you may be able to control that alcoholic of yours? Huh? That's a good one for you to think about. I'm going to read that again. We know, but let's put you. Do you know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control? So do you know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control? All of us felt at times that we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, very brief in my case, were invariably followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. Every time you felt that you were going to be able to control your addiction. Hey, I controlled it this time. I only had one drink tonight. Then you went out the next night and you had one drink. But then the next night, you don't know what happened. You found yourself in a blackout. Control is an illusion. Anything you're trying to control, it's controlling you. Think about it. Anything you try to control, it's controlling you. And it will in time lead to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. It will lead you to hating yourself. That's what incomprehensible demoralization means. Lack of self-esteem and self-hate. And I know about that. Do you? I bet you do. Most people don't come on Big Book Step Study workshops if they don't know about incomprehensible demoralization. We are convinced to a man or a woman that alcoholics of our type are the type that have experienced pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. That's our type. Are in the grip of a progressive illness. Progressive. Okay, that's a word I didn't put down there. Nine. Progressive. Put progressive down. You need to know that progressive means always getting worse. Always getting worse. We're in the grip of a progressive illness. An illness that's always getting worse. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. We are like men and women who have lost their legs. We never grow new ones. That's how we are as addicts. Once we cross that line and become an addict, we can never go back. There's an expression. A cucumber becomes a pickle. A pickle can never become a cucumber. And that's what happens. Once that body becomes allergic, and an Al-Anon would say, well, I don't become an addict, but once that mind crosses that line, and it is a physical thing. The mind is soaked in a chemical. You know, our blood and has a pH and stress and living with an alcoholic and things like that, clutter and workaholism and things like that. It all of that creates a stress within us that changes our pH factor of our blood and our body chemistry and our brain chemistry and everything. It changes. And that is the same as when we ingest a chemical into our body. It changes our pH, our chemistry in our body. So even though you're not ingesting the stress and all of that of the situation, it's just like if you took a drug and your body becomes addicted to the endorphins and that stress chemical. So your body becomes addicted to it, just like the body of a alcoholic and a food addict and a heroin addict and a cocaine addict. And once you're there, you can never go back. And I like this. We are like men and women who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. Neither does there appear to be any kind of treatment which will make alcoholics or addicts, on page 31, of our kind like other men and women. We have tried every imaginable remedy. In some instances, there has been brief recovery, followed always by still worse relapse. Physicians who are familiar with alcoholism agree there is no such thing as making normal drinkers out of an alcoholic. Science may one day accomplish this, but it hasn't done so yet. And I have in the margin here, we can't heal a sick mind with a sick mind. We cannot heal our own mind with our own mind. We need outside help. We need outside help. Okay. Word number 10 is remedy. Okay, page 31, paragraph 1. Despite all we can say, many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they are in that class. By every form of self-deception, and experimentation, they may try to prove themselves exceptions to the rule, therefore non-alcoholic. If anyone who is showing inability to control his drinking can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. Heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. Okay, word number 11, deception, D-E-C-E-P-T-I-O-N. Word 12, inability, I-N-A-B-I-L-I-T-Y. Okay, so what are they saying here? There is a lot of denial in people who are real addicts, real alcoholics. And as we all know, you can't take anybody out of denial. Someone who comes out of denial, it's a real gift from God. And it just says, by every form of self-deception and experimentation, excuse me, they will try to prove themselves exceptions to the rule. They're going to try, they'll say, I won't drink hard liquor, I'll go to wine. So for the food addict, they'll say, okay, I'm going to eat all non-fat foods. I'll go to Weight Watchers. I'll eat healthy on the weekdays and just eat junk food on the weekends. I mean, they'll try to do anything. And then there are the people, and we read it back in page 20, that they can pull it off. They, if they have a good reason, it just says here, if they have a good reason, they can take it and leave it alone. If they fall in love, get sick, and the doctor tells them, you know, their health is in danger, they go back to school, they get an ultimatum from their husband, or their boyfriend says, I won't marry you if you don't lose weight, they can pull it off. Well, we shouldn't be mad or jealous. We should be happy for them. This is what they said here. We say, if they can do a right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to them. Heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. We've tried it, and we can't pull it off. If they can pull it off, we need to be glad for them. Okay? Now, here are some of the things that we've tried. Now, we need to try to identify with these and say, have I done any of these things? So this is for identification. You don't have to have done all of these. And if you're not a drinker, I can identify these with drinking, and I can identify these with food, and I can identify these as an Al-Anon too. So here are some of the methods we have tried: drinking beer only, limiting the number of drinks, never drinking alone, never drinking in the morning, drinking only at home, never having it in the house, never drinking during business hours, drinking only at parties, switching from scotch to brandy, drinking only natural wines, agreeing to resign if ever drunk on the job, taking a trip, not taking a trip, swearing off forever with or without a solemn oath, taking more physical exercise, reading inspirational books, going to a health farm, sanitariums, accepting voluntary commitments to asylums. We could increase the list ad infinitum. Okay, so let's change it for me now as a food addict. Okay. Eating only sugar-free products. Okay. Eating only fat-free products. Limiting the number of snacks. Never eating alone. Never, let's see, what can we do never in the morning? Never binging in the morning. Eating only at home. Oh, never having snack foods in the house. Never eating snack foods during business hours. Snacking only at parties. Or eating sweets only at parties. Switching from sugar products to non-sugar products. Eating only natural foods. Agreeing to never binging on the job. Taking a trip, not taking a trip. Swearing off binging forever with or without a solemn oath. Taking more physical exercise, reading inspirational books, going to health farms and sanitariums, accepting voluntary commitment to a, place where you lose weight. We could increase the list ad infinitum. And we could do this for all the addictions, We could do it for drugs. I consider myself a drug addict. We could do this for all of them. In fact, I recommend whatever your addiction is, you change this for yourself. So that's a homework assignment too. And I'm not going to put it up on the website, but for you people who are listening tonight, if you're not a drinker and you're not an eater, because I just did it for the drinking and I did it for the eating, but whatever else your addiction is, I want you to put your addiction in here, okay? Basically, use what they said, but put your addiction in there, okay? And we're going to end here. So tonight is 1:29:09. Okay, so that's it for tonight. Okay, your writing assignment is the first two sentences on page 30. Okay, are you willing to admit that you are a real alcoholic is question number one. Question two is, are you willing to admit that you are bodily and mentally different from your fellows? And question number three is there any delusion left in you about your addiction? Left in you about your addiction. And I'll read the list because it's a long list. 1, vain. 2, obsession. 3, abnormal. 4, illusion. 5, concede. 6, delusion. 7, insanity. 8, incomprehensible. 8, demoralization. 9, progressive. 10, remedy. 11, deception. 12, inability. Okay. And most very important is to underline and star the delusion that we are like other people or presently may be has to be smashed. I really want you to underline and star that in your book. That is very, very, very important. That is what step one is all about. Okay. Any questions? And I wanted just to be on what we've gone over tonight.
Do you want to do the closing prayer before questions?
Yeah, closing prayer. Good. Thank you, Eric. You're a doll. Oh, God, thank you so much for step one. Oh, without step one, nothing is possible. If we have any reservation about our powerlessness over our addiction, we can't go anywhere. We're just dead in the water. So thank you, God, for all these chapters in this big book to show us, to smash all our delusion that we can use anything in any quantity. We just have to be totally abstinent and sober and clean. Thank you, God, for your willingness to give us your power to stay away from our drugs, the drugs that have killed us, that have numbed us, that have robbed us of our feelings and our life. Thank you, God, for your continued care and love and forgiveness. And give us the strength and the courage to do our work this week, our homework, work our fellowships and the 7 tools, and to work on getting connected with one another so we really have a group and a fellowship. Thank you, God. Amen. Okay.